Greetings in Christ Jesus, and welcome once again to the Twin Steeples podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Nauman, and I'm joined today again by Pastor Neil Radical. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Mankato, Minnesota. And our main goals of this podcast are to share God's saving word with you and to communicate the ongoing activity of Christ's kingdom here at Emmanuel. How are you doing today, Pastor?
Better than I deserve. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Today I wanted to dive a little bit in with you on the explanation of the first commandment as our kind of devotional thought today, especially in light of the recent presidential election, in light of the COVID pandemic situation going on and the increasing restrictions that we're seeing here in Minnesota. I want to talk a little bit about what it means to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Maybe we could just take those three describing words there: to fear God, to love God, to trust God. What does it mean to do all those things? Maybe we just take them one at a time. So when you think of fear God, I think that needs some explanation. Do you want to kind of take that one a little bit? What does it mean to fear God?
The Proverbs that says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I think we always explain that fear is in the idea of awe and respectfulness. I like the word awe. It's not like you have to be afraid of God. I think that's, we understand fear that way. But more in the sense of fear is in, we have a awesome respect for his power. I mean, we can't even fully grasp his power. So if we're putting the fear of the Lord first, then we are respecting his power and authority over any power and authority, any false idol, false god, president, dictator, king, ruler. That's where I go with fear. It's an awesome, unfathomable power that the Lord controls.
So the thought there is, of course, if we're going to fear God above everything else, we fear God and have that awe and respect more than our parents. You know, Jesus said, he who does not love father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. We're certainly called to honor our parents, but to fear them above God would be to go too far. We do not put our fear of the president or the governor or anybody else above God. It's certainly God's power is greater than their power. God's the one who put them in the position that they are in. And even comes to my mind the fear of this virus. You know, a lot of people are giving into the fear of this virus, you know, and giving to this virus absolute power to the point where this virus is controlling each and every aspect of our daily lives. Whereas, and really, they're making an idol out of a virus, aren't they? You know, that's ultimately what this commandment's all about, is not giving too much fear, too much respect, too much awesome power to anything in this world, including a virus. And that's what I think a lot of people are afraid of right now.
You know what a really neat section was Cornelius. Maybe actually get that mixed up. The centurion who came to Jesus, and he just said, say the word. I mean, he had totally understood. I mean, that kind of faith, that just, you don't need to come to my house. You just say the word. It's almost kind of funny when we wrestle with COVID so much and this whole virus thing. This is such a simple thing for the Lord to just say, it's done. It's over. Yeah. You know, so for him, I like to try to think about, well, why are we going through this? Why are we wrestling with this, whether it be our congregation or anything else? Mm-hmm. Why is the Lord putting us through this? How is he testing us right now? I like going through the first commandment here with you, because where is my trust?
Right. We'll get to trust.
I get so excited.
Yeah. But, you know, and that, you know, for Jesus, COVID is nothing. You know, Jesus raised the dead and caused the lepers to be healed and the blind to see and the lame to walk, you know, and that's what we need to realize in this, who has the awesome power, who has that authority to move and shape and dictate our lives? It's God. And if we're allowing COVID-19, or if we're allowing the president, or allowing the governor to dictate our lives above and beyond what God is, then we're making an idol out of it. All right, let's move to the next one. Love. Fear, love, and trust in God above all things. So what does it mean to love God above anything else? This can be a kind of a tricky one, I think, because love is kind of a fickle word in our society. We use it all the time. We say I love my desk. I love my coworkers.
Pizza.
I love pizza. I love my wife, I love my kids, I love God. How do we separate all those things? I mean, how do you explain this in confirmation class to your kids?
I went first last time. You gotta go first this time.
Well, I'll go. So we talk about the love that we are to have for God. That's law, right? This is the law. It's the first commandment. God says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." And when I really think of it as a priority list, right? Our priorities in life are dictated by the things that are most important to us. My priority to my family, my priority to my job, my priority to my hobbies, my priority, you know, all these things. In our minds, whether we actually have a list written out on a piece of paper or not, in our minds, these priority lists are always shifting and moving. And if we get those priorities mixed up, we can get in a lot of trouble, right? If you don't put getting gas high on the priority list, you're going to get stuck on the side of the road, out of gas, right? And so we need to have these priorities in order. And what God's really saying here is love God above all things is keep God number one. And if we can do that, if we can keep God at the top of our priority list of what I need to do and what I need to accomplish, then everything else underneath there is going to fall into place. And that's why this commandment is the first and foremost of all the commandments. Because if we could keep God number one on our priority list, then we would keep all the rest of the commandments too, wouldn't we? Everything else would fall into place. And now anytime we break any other commandment, really we're breaking this commandment too, because we're putting ourselves, our love for ourselves above God, or our love for our family members above God, or our love for pleasure above God. You know, there's so many things, so many places to fall and traps to fall into with this commandment.
Yeah, I totally agree. I like the way you talked about prioritizing, because, you know, like you said, there's so many different types of love in this world, and that's why, you know, one of those passages we learned from little on, we love him because he first loved us. Fairly certain in John's epistle there, he's talking about the agape love, and that's the most extreme, the most in-depth type of love that we see primarily from God first, that sacrificial love. And so if we're talking about loving God, we really ought to want to love him in the same way he loves us, and that's sacrifice, that's putting him above everything else in our life, whatever that might be. And like you said, if we're prioritizing in that way, that affects our family, our work, in a positive way, because now we're trying to serve those areas of our life in our service to God. We're looking to him as that example of how his selfless service to us in his life, death, and resurrection really was all about us, mm-hmm. his love for us.
Yep. Good, and so that brings us to the last one. So to fear God above all things, to love God above all things. The last one is trust, to trust God above all things. And I really think this fits well, again, with the election and with the COVID situation. What you see again and again and again in our nation is people trusting the government above all things, or trusting a mask above all things. I think, you know, we're not here to say don't wear masks. I'm not here to say don't trust the government. We should. Just the same way we're supposed to fear our parents, just the same way we're supposed to love our spouse, the same way we're supposed to trust the government and trust the advice of those scientists and doctors and experienced people out there. But if you're trusting these things above God, that's where you go too far. You know, if you're wearing a mask thinking, now I'm safe from all harm, then you're trusting that mask. You're making an idol out of a mask. If you think, well, now the president that I wanted was elected, so now everything's going to be just fine. Now everything's going to be taken care of. Well, now you're trusting that president above God. You know, and this is where we need to be very careful as Christians, because it's very easy to fall into this trap of idolatry, making these things the ultimate thing that we put our trust in. You know, I think when I think of trust, and this one I explained to the confirmation kids, like a trust fall. And so I'd normally do a trust fall if it wasn't COVID during this year, but we're not allowed to do that, obviously, with the kids. But a trust fall where, you know, it's an exercise and practice where you fall backwards trusting someone to catch you. And if you trust them, you're going to fall completely trusting them, not twitching, not second-guessing yourself at all. You just completely fall backwards believing that they're going to catch you. And if you don't trust them so much, you know, I normally pick the smallest kid in the confirmation class and I tell them, okay, now I trust you, catch me. I don't ever go through with it. But, you know, that's the idea behind it, is if you don't quite trust that person to catch you, you're gonna second guess, you're gonna catch yourself, you're gonna have doubts in your mind. And that's really what trusting God is all about, is believing that he is going to catch you. And here's the beautiful thing, is that even though we fail at all these things, we fail to fear God above all things, we fail to love God above all things, we fail to trust God above all things, God still catches us anyway. You know, you think of Peter when he was walking on the water, and all of a sudden he looks around and sees all these waves, this storm, and those doubts come into his mind. He didn't, in that moment, trust God, trust Jesus above all things. And yet, who was right there to catch him? Jesus was. Jesus grabbed him. You know, it doesn't matter if you trust, it doesn't matter if you second guess yourself, if you doubt, as long as you trust the person behind you is the one who's going to catch you. And Jesus is strong enough to catch you. And this is why, this is really where it's trusting in God's grace and not trusting in our own faith. If we think our own faith is what saves us, we need to be careful. Faith is what gives us access to that grace in which we now stand. So really like going through this, you know, obviously this is a little bit of a longer devotion than we normally do, but I think it's really appropriate with all that we got going on in our nation and the tendency and the easy trap it is to fall into of fearing, loving, and trusting other things above our God.
The only other thing I wanted to say with what you were saying is, you know, we were talking about the sixth or seventh grader catching us if we were doing a trust fall. You know, I think part of the reason why you wouldn't do that or I wouldn't do that is because we're not sure if we trust them to catch us. I think that's a really good illustration, Joe, because when we look at our life, sometimes we get so worked up by the big thing that's happening, you know, the COVID, the health problem, the work loss, whatever it might be, that we think that is too big for God to catch. We forget who he is.
And that's what it's all about, fearing him and having no other gods. Awesome. All right, why don't we close with prayer. Lord Heavenly Father, you indeed deserve to be feared, loved, and trusted above all. Help and move our hearts to look to you and you alone as our God. Encourage us to put all other things aside and to look to you and you alone as our Savior, as our Redeemer, and as our friend. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Okay, you want to quickly flip through a couple updates, reminders this week. Bible study continues this evening. We're still in James chapter 4. We'll be doing that this week and next week, and then we'll be taking a break through the Thanksgiving and Advent season, hoping to pick that back up again in the new year. This weekend, we conclude our Bible study on the outreach series on the mission development series that was put out by the Committee on Domestic Fields. So that's part 5. You can check that out on YouTube if you are unable to attend in person. I've got all the discussion questions on there as well. Please take time to do that. And then after that, we'll be going back to our study of the liturgy as well. Regarding the gym, I just took a peek at that yesterday. Looks like just about everything is done being painted. This weekend, they'll be putting the final two coats of poly on there that'll seal it up. And then I think we got to stay off it for about a week or so before before we're able to make use of it. So getting there, almost done. Looking forward to that final product. It really is looking great in there. And I want to thank everybody who is contributing to that gym fund. Funds are still needed for that. And also just continue prayers for the school as they look forward to using that too. And it'll really be good with all the cold weather moving in here for them to be able to have gym class and have recess time and make use of that space as well. Coming up here in about 2 weeks, we got our Thanksgiving service. Again, that'll be Wednesday evening and Thursday morning. Please stay tuned about the times for that. The deacons are still hammering out when those times will exactly be, but you can expect that Wednesday evening and Thursday morning as we usually do. Our Advent is coming up the week after that. We are looking right now at possibly moving that afternoon service to 3:30 because of the way that the school is being operated right now. We have classes in the narthex and in the church proper itself. So the idea would be that we'd be able to close down school, get things sanitized, and have service right away after school. And hopefully this would be convenient for many of our members to simply grab their children and come into the church service for that 3:30 service. And we would still have that 6 p.m. service as well. But we like having that afternoon service for people who don't like driving after dark. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Pastor, I know that you spent a lot of time with the COVID mandates and stuff. Would you just give us a quick update what you learned from that?
Yep. So I know, I'm sure many of you saw that Governor Walz came out with a new set of mandates that it'll be restricting gatherings to 10 people or less in all indoor or outdoor settings. And it restricts it to families, 3 households or less. So that may put restrictions on your personal Thanksgiving plans, the way the governor has set that up. However, the amendments that he has made to his executive order. It's executive order 2074, and his latest mandate is an update to that one. He did not change the mandates for church, so we are still able to function the way we've been functioning with our capacity of being high enough that we can use that maximum 250. So we've been nowhere near 250 people in church yet. So we are still more than capable of opening up and keeping people. But again, he is still mandating that 6 foot social distancing. So we need to be following that and again wearing the masks in church as we have been continuing to do throughout this process. So maybe you're concerned about this new mandate, but basically this mandate was mostly for anyone who's doing food or drinks. So you could think about if you're doing a wedding venue and you're doing a reception after a funeral with we would do the meals after the funeral. We're not doing any of those currently. So as long as we're not serving food or drink, this mandate really has no effect on us at this time. So we thank God that we're able to continue to work and function as we have been. I was pretty concerned when I heard about this and had to look into it, but again, no change. So that announcement will likely be in the bulletin and the memo coming out today as well. Our prayer list for this week, continued prayers for my mother, Desiree Naumann. Her condition has been worsening. My dad reported she's having a hard time even walking with a walker at this point, and very tired, and we'll see how it goes. They said the 6 weeks after radiation chemo can be just as bad as the 6 weeks of radiation and chemo, so we'll see if she ends up bouncing back after this time or not. We'll see how that goes from here. She's scheduled for her big MRI the week of Thanksgiving, so we'll find out. Hopefully get a lot more information at that point. Jake Bussey continues to get treatment for his cancer. Just to clarify, I think I said a number of times bone cancer. It's not actually bone cancer. It's a type of melanoma or something like that that he's dealing with. It is cancer, just not quite bone cancer like I had said before. So that was my mistake. Beth Grieve continues to her work here at Emmanuel. She's been doing great and continue to keep her prayer and her recovery in our prayers as well. And I know she's had quite a few doctor's appointments lately to help make sure that she gets years here with no redevelopment of that cancer. So we're keep that her and her work in your prayers. We also pray on behalf of Sue Schweim's mother, who is, I think she told me she's 96 years old, and she's been diagnosed with COVID up in St. Peter. It's hitting her quite hard. So we'll see what the Lord has in mind with that, but. Sue prays that the Lord's will be done for that too. Harold Woolley fell down last week Wednesday and broke his hip. Had successful surgery on Thursday, which is significant when you're, I was trying to think, is he 94 or 96 or something like that, up there in age, and for him to have a major surgery like that. But it was very successful. Everything went well. He's waiting to return to a rehab facility where he can get his strength back and return home to Betty. So we'll keep Harold and Betty both in our prayers. And finally, we pray for Kenny and Rachel Housechild. That would be Rachel Thompson is her maiden name. She was pregnant with twin boys. And we figure out they're 30, 32 weeks along or something.
Around 30.
Yeah. And so those two twin boys were born yesterday, Liam and Simon. And so we thank the Lord that they have been born healthy and they're up in the cities right now, so and of course there's restrictions in place, so we can't get in there to see them. But we keep them in our prayers and pray everything goes smoothly with that too. So, all right, that brings us to our doctrine of the day today, and what we picked out today is the idea of the born again Christian. Now this concept of being born again, it's something Jesus came up with. If you go to John chapter 3, he talks to Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, who came to him in the night because he was afraid, Jesus told him, unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus asked the question, so am I supposed to crawl back up in my mother's womb and be born again? What's the deal, Jesus? What are you talking about? And Jesus says, you need to be born again, not of the flesh, but of the water and of the spirit. So if this idea of being a born-again Christian came from Jesus, how do we end up with this on our list of false teachings of being born again?
I think it's because people describe it differently. It's how you classify how you term what that means. So if anyone says to me, "Hey, I've been born again Christian," a lot of times they'll say, "Yeah, me too." But what do you mean by that? And so a lot of times they'll say, "Well, I had this amazing experience." I remember one woman told me a while back that there was one afternoon where she was really thinking about Jesus and praying, and then she said the Spirit threw her across the room. She fell to her knees and started crying, and that's when she accepted Jesus into her heart for the very first time. And so usually when I hear the phrase born again Christian in this context, it's the sense of when I decided to be born again. It's this kind of decision theology is brought into it, and this whole emotional, dramatic experience. Not that faith does not have drama in it, or faith does not have emotion. Certainly it does. But when you're comparing that to your conversion and saying that my conversion was brought about by me versus by the Holy Spirit, I think that's where born again Christian can become really muddy and murky as far as talk about in the first commandment, who we're giving credit to. And a lot of times you hear among Christians today this kind of self-glorification, self-credit, where this happened to me, and it was my moment, my experience, and I converted, I decided to accept Christ into my heart, when the Lord clearly tells us that that's not the way it happens.
Yeah, I was at one of my wife's friends from work years ago. We were at her wedding, and at the church they had a whole wall, and it was all these people's their conversion moment, and they wrote their own story about how they in this moment chose Christ, accepted Christ, welcomed him into their own heart. And what's really dangerous about this, and this is, you see this very prevalent in Reformed and charismatic groups and evangelical groups, what's super dangerous about this is what you're doing is you're making your faith a work. Which is very dangerous. Let me explain it. I think it fits in well with what we said in the first commandment. So the first commandment is fear, love, and trust, that trusting in God above all things. If you are trusting in your faith to save you, you're trusting in the wrong thing. We need to trust in God's grace to save us. His grace is what saves us. Your faith is not what saves you. You can have faith in anything. You know, you can have faith that it's not going to snow. You're probably wrong. You can have faith that a sixth grader is going to catch you when you fall. You're probably wrong. But it's faith in the right thing. We need to have faith in God's grace. And that's what catches us when we fall. You know, if we have faith in our own faith, and this is where so many people fall into problems, especially in connection with this emotional experience concept that you're talking about. Because when my emotions change, which they do all the time, when my feelings change, which they do all the time, now all of a sudden I can come into doubt. Is my faith strong enough? Is my faith strong enough to get me to heaven? And that's the question. And you see that with so many people. You know, so many people struggle with that. Am I strong enough? Is my faith strong enough? Do I trust enough? But it's not about your faith. It's not about your trust. It is God strong enough? You know, and you think about the disciples on that Sea of Galilee, right? Jesus stood up, woke up in the middle of this huge storm, and the first thing he does is not calm the storm. The first thing he does is he looks at the disciples. He says, "Why are you so fearful, oh, you of little faith?" You know, and he doesn't say no faith. He says, "You of little faith." You know, they had faith. They went to the right place. Jesus was in the boat with them. They said, "Jesus, save us, we're perishing." They went to the right place, but they didn't have that strong faith. And you know, ultimately, saving faith is saving faith. If you trust in Jesus, you know, he's the one who's going to catch you. He's the one who's going to save you. Even if you are feeling weak, even if your faith feels inadequate, it is enough. And so, you know, that's really where I think we need to be very careful that we're not trusting in our faith above God. Because you can make your own faith an idol, which sounds really weird. But you can make your faith an idol above God. We need to put our faith in God, and that's what saves us.
Just to support what you said there with some other verses too, I love your example of Jesus in the boat with the disciples, but in 1 Corinthians 12, we're told very clearly that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So my thought on that is that how would you even know who to put your faith in had the Lord not revealed him to you? Or what Jesus says in John, and you're talking about his sheep, and talking about verse 15, "I am the vine, you are the branches. No one comes to the Father except by me." So again, John chapter 1 talks about that, not of human will or decision, but by the gift of God. You mentioned John 3. I mean, over and over, you see all these. You mentioned John 3 with Nicodemus. And over again, we continuously see that faith is a gift of God. And I like the way you said that. It's not a work. It's not something that we can boast in. Mm-hmm. But it's something that the Lord has blessed us with, and that he has kindled that faith in our heart And that's such a gift and such something to be thankful for.
And it's such a sneaky trick of the devil, too, because, you know, we can look at the Catholic Church and say, look, they clearly teach work righteousness. You have to do your own works to be saved. But within the realms of evangelical Christianity, we see this sneaky work of the devil to make this decision to turn faith into a work. And so what it's really doing is it's taking the clear false teaching of the Catholic Church of work righteousness, that you're doing works to save yourself, and it sneaks it into evangelical Christianity and saying, look, it's turning this, your faith into a work now, which is just the same as work righteousness. It doesn't matter how many of your own works you think are saving you, even if it's just your own faith, that destroys the work of Christ. You know, Christ died on the cross, he said, it is finished. There's nothing else that needs to be done. Everything else, everything is done by me. So now it's completely his work. Okay, so I think that's a pretty good place to stop there on that doctrine.
I like that you said born again Christian. It's in Scripture, in John 3. It's in John 1. So if you read through John 1, John 3, you'll see it in there.
Yeah.
But it's how we use it. I think you explained that so well.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those things that there's lots of words and ideas attached to different phrases and things. And you know, just because one group's using it wrong doesn't mean we shouldn't use it. You know, the born again Christian, it's a biblical concept. It came from Jesus. So it's not like we're condemning the use of that phrase. It's just sadly so many people use that phrase in a way that turns faith into a work and ultimately undermines the work of Christ. All right, let's close this beautiful day with our hymn of the day, hymn 776, which is entitled, Lord, 'Tis Not That I Did Choose You. Lord, 'tis not that I did choose you, that I know could never be, for this heart would still refuse you had your grace not chosen me. You removed the sin that stained me, cleansing me to be your own. For this purpose you ordained me, that I live for you alone. It was grace in Christ that called me, taught my darkened heart and mind, else the world had yet enthralled me to your heavenly glories blind. Now I worship none above you, for your grace alone I thirst, knowing well that if I love you, you, O Father, love me first. Haste then on from grace to glory, armed by faith and winged by prayer. All but heaven is transitory. God's own hand shall guide you there. Soon shall end this earthly story. Swift shall pass the pilgrim days. Hope soon changed to heavenly glory, faith to sight, and prayer to praise. Amen. Thank you for joining us in this Twin Steeples podcast. Twin Steeples, once again, is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota. Until next time, may God bless you and keep you. And may you always remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.